response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Joining us right now is Mike Oresko, AAC Commissioner. Mike, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Morning, Greg, and good morning, Brian, my old friend Brian. And nice to talk to you, Greg.
Pleasure. Well, nice to talk to you. The pleasure is ours. And this is a good week for you, man. You got a big-time game, a 15th-ranked team in the country at 10-0, playing a 9-1 team. It's going to be high-profile on national TV. You must be peacocking a little bit this week and walking around feeling pretty good about your conference.
Well, I do, and I have for a while. I think this conference has accomplished a lot over the last 4 or 5 years. But I've been waiting for this game for a long time because I really think that these two teams have all the potential in the world, and both of them have not been good at the same time. And we've been waiting for that day to have this rivalry because, you know, our league doesn't have a lot of natural rivalries. I mean, we have SMU-Houston, which is developing, and we have Memphis-Cincinnati, and we have the Temple Houston rivalries have developed because of the competitiveness of the team, sort of like the old Dallas Cowboys-Redskins rivalry, which really wasn't a natural one, but it developed for various reasons. And this one's a real one, the war on I-4. So it's a big weekend for us. But it's also a very frustrating time for me, and I know we'll talk about this. UCF 15 in the college football poll, the committee poll, and very frustrating because our league has accomplished a lot, and yet there's still this perception that somehow our strength of schedule should hold our teams back, and it's something that we just keep fighting.
Yeah, speaking of those rivalries, Mike, and always good to talk to you, my friend. And I think, matter of fact, the last time I saw you, Gio and I were in Dallas. And it was the weekend the Cowboys were playing the Green Bay Packers, and we were all there for the national championship game was taking place there, Oregon and Ohio State. And, Gio, this is when you and I and Winfrey were looking for a sports bar. And
yeah.
I run into Mike Oresko at our first stop, and I think that was the last time we locked eyes, Mike. So always good to see you and definitely talk to you. And I'm glad you have a natural rivalry so we can get away from this manufactured one between UConn and UCF. This I-4 war on I-4 should be a good one. And you're exactly right. That's where I wanted to go as far as the perception of your league. When you look at UCF and what Scott Frost is able to do, turning that program around from an 0-12 season back in 2015, winning six games last year and now undefeated, you think if UCF is able to get a one-loss USF in this ball game, that would garner more attention and more respectability for your league?
Well, it might, Brian, but here's the issue for me. I sometimes wonder, I mean, are people paying attention to our league? The media, committee, everybody. I mean, the committee does a good job, and I'm not, I don't want to, get on the wrong side of that one, But on the other hand, look at what this league has done, and look at what Houston did last year against Oklahoma. You know, that final score should have been 40-17 if they hadn't had that little fumble at the goal line. Look what they did to Louisville. The only team to stop Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield in the last 2 years has been a team from our league, Houston. And yet it's like it didn't happen. And we've had multiple top 25 teams each year. We've had two top 10 finishes. UCF destroyed Baylor back in 2014 in the Fiesta Bowl, and they were 20-point underdogs. You saw what Houston did to Florida State in the Peach Bowl a few years ago. They were big underdogs. They won seven. Houston won seven straight games against the so-called P5 teams until this year. Temple beat Penn State a few years ago, almost beat Notre Dame, played Penn State to a one-touchdown game last year out in Happy Valley. Memphis has had big wins against Ole Miss after Ole Miss had just beaten Alabama. They beat UCLA this year. We've got 23 P5 wins plus Notre Dame in the past couple of years, including this year. We've had, and that's over a three-year period, we've had a lot of competitive losses. 60% of these games we have to play on the road. I think, you know, the committee often talks about, well, we don't look at the past, or we just look at week to week. I think you have to take the entire picture, because if you're going to talk about our league not being as strong, or somehow our league not strength of schedule not being the same as the P5, you got to look at what we've done that proves that wrong. And it seems to me it's very obvious what we've done, and we continue to do it. I mean, people forget East Carolina's down right now, but a few years ago they were one of our better teams when Ruffin McNeil was there. And, in fact, they beat the ACC five straight times, including two wins over Virginia Tech, one of them a week after Virginia Tech had beaten Ohio State. So I think, again, I think this tells you the strength of our conference. And when you see a UCF undefeated, and they're really an explosive team, I think they can score on any of these teams, including the top four teams that are going to be picked for the playoff, whomever they are. They can score on them. They've got a great defense. Shaquem Griffin is a wonderful story. And yet they just don't get the kind of attention they deserve. I was a little disappointed last night that there wasn't time spent in that show. At least I didn't see it. I watched the show about UCF and where they should stand. And let's have some controversy. Let's have a discussion about the, you know, how the committee is ranking them relative. There's a three-loss, you know, Mississippi State team ahead of them, and I think the chair said that Mississippi State's played a challenging schedule. Well, again, I mean, there might be a team that plays a challenging schedule, and it may have four or five or six losses, but do you rank them ahead of an undefeated team, which beat Maryland on the road shortly after Maryland beat Texas, which has been destroying its opponents? You know, your schedule is your schedule, and this is a good conference. You saw what Navy almost did at Notre Dame. How many teams have gone up to Notre Dame this year and gotten obliterated? And not Navy. They were ready to win that game. And Navy at home won 17 straight. When UCF beats Navy at home, that's a significant win. When they beat SMU on the road, that's a significant win. SMU was 6 points away from Baylor in the fourth quarter, and that was because of a Hail Mary at the end of the half. And that's at, excuse me, I said Baylor. I meant to say TCU. And that's at TCU. TCU has played, games that weren't as tough, literally, you know, on the road as opposed, you know. So, again, I think you can make a case for our teams, but I just think there's not enough attention paid because of this divide, Brian and Greg, because of the G5 versus the P5. I don't think there's much question that divide is a headwind we have to fight.
Gio and Jones with Mike Oresko, AAC Commissioner on CBS Sports Radio. And when you mentioned that you want more attention paid to the conference, you can, you know, talk to guys like us, and you can go on radio shows and do interviews and hope that, you know, it gets out there. But are there other things that you do? I'm curious from your perspective. Do you send packets of information to the committee members? Do you hound them at their houses? Are you calling them up? What else? What are some of the things that you do to try to get more attention for the best teams and, well, yeah, the best team in your conference this year?
Well, that's a good point. Again, we do send material to the committee, and they welcome it. They welcome to our committee reps. You don't talk to the committee during the season, and we certainly don't hound them, and we certainly don't try to, you know, find their addresses. That's just not who we are and not what we would do. But we are allowed to send information, and we do, and we try to put, you know, our best foot forward. We also, I've done a lot of radio the last couple of days. I've done a lot of radio over the year. I've done a lot of other things to try to, you know, I talk to the writers all the time because I think I have something to talk about. If this were built on sand, that would be one thing, but it's a strong foundation that this conference has built. And I just want to talk to people about what we've achieved and what we've done. When you look at teams like Houston and you see what they did last year and the year before, and then teams, we've also had a multiple group of teams that have won games. This is not just a one horse league. You know, we've had a lot of teams that have been successful over the first few years, and I think that's going to continue. But yeah, we do everything we can to promote the league. And the other thing we do, we try to cite, as I said, facts. You know, I talk about our players too, because I think that shows you the quality of this league. For instance, if you watch a pro game these days, you'll see Tyler Matakevich playing for the Steelers. You'll see Matt Ioannidis starting on the line for the defensive line for the Eagles. You'll see Hassan Reddick. It was a 13th pick in the draft. And these were all on the same Temple team that came within a hair of beating Notre Dame 2 years ago when Notre Dame was ninth in the country and really could have won that game very easily. They had a couple of defensive backs on that team that are in the NFL. Robbie Anderson, the receiver for the Jets, a terrific receiver, was on that team along with Phillip Walker, quarterback. I mean, you see Justin Hardy set the all-time NCAA receiving record. He's playing for the Falcons. Zay Jones broke that record this year. J.J. Wharton probably made the greatest catch in college football history against Temple. It was featured on the NBC Nightly News. When you look at all the great players, we had, incidentally, 15 draft picks this year. The Big 12 only had 14, and that tells you something, too. So I keep talking to people about the quality. Blake Bortles, third pick in the draft, you know, back in 14. We've got a lot of great players who've come out of this league, and they continue to come out. We don't necessarily get five-star players. We don't need to. We get those three-stars, two-stars. You know, they're coached up. They're guys who really love to play football. They're hard scrabble. They don't need waterfalls in the locker room. You know, they don't need TVs in the locker. They don't need all of that. And, you know, this is a league that is competitive. Anytime one of our good teams is put in a big situation, they generally perform extremely well. And I expect that to happen this year. Obviously, this weekend, I think you'll see a team that, you know, South Florida is very good, and that's going to be a real challenge for UCF. It's no foregone conclusion that UCF's going to be our rep, but they're an outstanding team. Scott Frost done a great job. Charlie Strong with South Florida, and then you look at Houston. That's the only loss South Florida has. They're not ranked. I don't understand how they could not be ranked. And their team's ranked ahead of them, who gave up 42 points in a loss to a mediocre team at home, who've given up 50 points in games. USF has only given up 28 points. That's the most, and most of the times, most teams don't even score 20 on them. They had a 47-16 decisive victory over Illinois. Probably could have scored 70 in that game, shot themselves in the foot a bit. But the truth is, it's not a top Big Ten team, but it's a Big Ten team, and they were totally physically dominant. You know, your schedule is your schedule, but give USF credit. You know, obviously, Quentin Flowers is a great story. And that team defensively, the talent on that defense is pretty outstanding, as well as some great offensive players. So, again, I just want people to pay attention, because I think if they do, I think they'll see how good this league is, how good this league has become. I've hardly mentioned Memphis with Riley Ferguson and that high-powered offense. And Anthony Miller, is there a better receiver in the country? The plays he makes, if you saw the UCLA game, and every game it seems he has 12 or 14 catches. Again, some great players all over the league. And I just want people to understand that it really is a competitive group. And, we'll just have to keep preaching it and hope that I'm happy that the P6 narrative is still alive. And you ask Greg, what else are we doing? Well, the P6 narrative is one. We've branded everything P6. I think we've got, at least subliminally, it's in the consciousness of everyone. We've got three teams in the top 25. This year we had four over the course of this year. We had five a few years ago. We've had top 10 finishes. As long as we continue to do that, I think the P6 narrative will be there. And our TV deal is coming up in about a year. That's going to be really critical. If we can get a good TV deal, I think we have further reason to want to move into that group. And we'll take some steps. We're going to try to figure out a way legislatively to get there. But we're not going to be we're going to be very aggressive about it, because I think this group deserves it.
Mike, thanks for the time this morning, man. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Greg, and thanks, Brian, and good luck. And Brian, enjoy you on the CBS show. And again, remember our days at CBS Sports Network, and good luck to you.
Thanks,
and
Mike. Greg,
thank you.
Appreciate
Have a great
you.
Thanksgiving, guys.
You too,
right.
Buddy.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And Mike, keep Oresco. On preaching.
Yeah. Yeah, his answers are longer than your questions, which I didn't think was possible.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.